I want to give my disclaimer first. I'm Nancy Jones, and this is going to be a very different talk from perhaps a different perspective. And so I'll just give you a little bit of my background to put the comments in context. First of all, right now I am a contractor at the National Institutes of Health at one of the agencies, NIAID, Allergies and Infectious Diseases. But I want to make sure to say that my comments do not reflect the government position. And I am, at that place, really in the Office of the Director and a Strategic Planning and Evaluation branch. But I really do science policy, but have been involved in some of the movement at NIH in evaluation. And so I think that's one of the reasons why I got here. I was NIAID's representative to the Science of Science Management at NIH, a conference that was held in 2008. And I'll talk about that a little bit. But also, I'm a former biomedical researcher, and I still hold an adjunct status at Wake Forest University School of Medicine. Have done NIH-funded research as well as NSF-funded research, but also have a master's in bioethics and got very interested in some of the science policy issues. So I'm really going to I hope what you would get from my talk is some of the perspective. I got to Washington through a AAAS science policy fellowship. And so I'm going to try and give to you why evaluate, why do this research, who are the needs, who has needs for this information, and also maybe the implications of what we're doing. So first, I think it's important to recognize that we're in a performance-based culture now. Beginning in 1945, Vannevar Bush, after World War II, was asked to say, why should the public have an interest in supporting science? And really came up with a seminal piece that's used much to justify why the public has an interest in supporting science through this Science, the Endless Frontier. And NSF has it posted on their website. But really then, he made a claim that the reason why the public should be interested in supporting science is because scientific progress is essential for the war against disease, national security, and public welfare, including in employment, as well as that the public had a stake in assuring the development of scientific talent. Well, these arguments remain as part of the thread for why there should be a public investment in science. And in fact, President Obama almost parroted, except for expanded in a few categories, this issue that the reason why there should be a public role for investment in science is this prosperity, security, health, environment, and quality of life. And so if we really look at a public view of science, we have this view. There's an investment. It goes into this thing called the science and technology enterprise. And what comes out of it is health, security, and prosperity. And I came to the NIH soon after the doubling of the budget of NSF, of NIH. NSF is in the process of gaining that. And really then, Congress was asking the NIH, many of the scientists had lobbied congressmen based on an outcome-based model. If you give us more money, we will give you more cures, we will give you more economy, we will help people have a better life. And so then Congress was asking the NIH, we doubled your budget, show us what the cures are, show us what the progress is. And then the scientific community wanted to say, well, you know, Congress, you really don't understand. You really don't understand how science works. Let us educate you. You don't understand. And so, in fact, then, for the good or for the bad, there's been a lot of movement in the government to look at how we can better manage our agencies, how we can better manage our programs, accountability, an era of accountability. And the window that's been applied is really through performance measurement. And so then the question is, can we really look at science through that window? Really then the two predominant questions that people ask are two, and probably can we justify the investment based on this model? Or can we improve the practice to actually increase the outcome based on this model? I'd say the other thing that has happened too is just this use of knowledge. Knowledge is now available. And so I think, you know, like it's just like these perfect storm of a lot of things coming together at the same time. We have this wonderful technology that's available to actually give us this information, as well as a demand for accountability from the public and some different methods that are being trying to apply to the science framework. There were two different conferences one I helped in getting it going, the NIH Science of the Science Management, but really Deb Duran and Alan Krinsky were the people who really were moving it. But in here, they really used the paradigm then, asking really whether or not our product was knowledge. So how could we improve knowledge and how we could improve knowledge utilization? And then there was also from OSTP, and Julia Lane was one of the people who helped form this. They had a Science of a Science Policy workshop. And I know many people in the room participated maybe in one or both of these conferences. But here then they used a different framework. And here they used the framework of whether or not we could learn things to actually stimulate innovation. And then, of course, innovation would be used to address our national priorities. So if you then overlay this over the framework, we really had two different conferences that then said, one, you know, tell us how to improve knowledge generation and knowledge utilization over a science background. And then the other, tell us how to increase prosperity. One was aimed at increasing health, and one was aimed at increasing prosperity. And really the answer, and maybe it's just even better, the one question sort of dropped off the bottom, can we improve the practice to increase the outcomes? But really the major question from policymakers is, can we justify the investment? When we look at that, the kinds of things that happened at the Science of Science Management, we're asking, are the public investments in biomedical science improving health? Not improving the community of science or the stability of scientists, but are what you're doing with our investment improving health? The needs then from a federal agency point is there a linkage between this product of research investment? And in this case, it was framed as research knowledge, so we can ask whether or not that's the right framing. But how do we link that to public health? And then once we link it, is there a way we can improve it? And I found it disconcerting that we weren't working enough models to really understand if that was the right framing. And what would you lose by framing it that way? And then on the science policy, it was, are the public investments in science spurring innovation and increasing U.S. competitiveness? And here it was really a macro science policy framework, more from the world of DOE or commerce, where there's a direct uptake in a product, and there's the closest linkage. And so they were looking at ways to improve innovation, as well as how do you decide between agencies, where do you invest, as well as these high-level policy instruments like patenting, you know, in terms of improving or tax policies. But again, the major questions at both of these conferences, and really from the worldview of agencies, is how do you justify the investment? So now at NIH, then if you start asking, we have a really progressive at NIAID, one of our deputy directors, Dr. McGowan, is really wanting to be ahead of the curve because the information is out there and people are going to start using that information to make judgments and to draw conclusions. And so we want to be at the head of it to really understand, you know, what are we doing and what can we learn and how can we improve it. And so in the simplest model, you might say NIAID has a stewardship of the investment. And then we do things. We conduct and support research. Sometimes we don't even know how we influence the community of science. We put things like the way that we package money influences, the way that we have different policies like equal hiring opportunities, putting the strings, we put strings on money because Congress told us we have to put strings on money. That's also how you have institutional responsibility is through the money. But all those different policy changes actually influence the conduct of research, but we really have a limited understanding of how that really happens. And then though, our mission is not to improve the community of science or the academy. Our mission is to better means of preventing, diagnosing, and treating these illnesses. And so then the question is, some of the outputs that we have available to us, like publications or indicators from FDA or patents, are they rigorous? Do they really relate back towards this mission? And then all the different, we do a variety of different activities at NIAID. We think in a variety of strategies of how we invest. We invest in training, and so the output of a publication maybe not is appropriate measure. Or we invest in centers versus individual scientists. We also invest in research resources, which are essential, or some of these other things. But what are the right ways to understand, in fact, how they influence the conduct of science, and then actually how can you change the conduct of science, not to improve the conduct of science, but to improve the outcome? And I think sometimes we're not asking the right questions. And in fact, what are needs then? All right, so for NIH, we want to be able to justify our investment by showing that research improves health. And I think even Dr. Collins is starting to change his priorities at NIH. He's asking some critical questions. Is what we do in the conduct of science really mean anything? And how can we improve health? NIH is a mission for health. You know, EPA is a mission for environmental improvement. And they even chafed a little bit at some of the OSTP framing of innovation, because they're saying, how do you measure by what we do we actually prevent things from happening? So we need better conceptual models for how research output improves health. We also need how to improve science management. We have to have a better understanding of how what we do at NIH actually influences conduct, both in the ways that we parcel up, but also different policies that we put in place, and how it influences practice. And so I want to know how research investment and policies interacts with the conduct of research. And team science is a perfect example. And so I think this is by no means all of the stakeholders, but a few stakeholders and their diverse needs for this science area. And one, Congress wants to be able to justify their investment and show outcomes, as well as make good laws. The public wants better health, security, jobs, and increased well-being. And so I guess we can ask you, how are you going to do that? How are you going to improve? How are what you're going to do here going to get to this? And then the administration wants to be able to justify the total investment, ways to make decisions between agencies, as well as what macro policies to implement to increase the outcome. Agencies want mission-specific answers. The scientific community, perhaps they don't want anything, but they do want to improve practice and show outcomes. So I would ask, what piece of this complex system are you addressing? Help us really understand the system rather than dissecting, because it really is an interactive system that we don't have a complete understanding of. Help us draw conceptual models. Help us have things to test, as well as then developing evaluation tools and frameworks for research programs. With that, I'll end my remarks and look forward to the comments. Thank you.